This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. It's certainly a blessing to have each and every one of you listening today, and I hope that things are well with you and your family, and I pray the Lord's blessing upon you all. We're going to continue our study today we've been doing in the book of 1 Corinthians. Last time we began to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on charity. Now today I want to pick up and finish our chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. So what I would like us to do then, let's read together verses 8 to 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. And the Word of God has this to say, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Or whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. So we see here in verse 8, begins with, charity never faileth. Now to fail is to fade or die away or stop functioning. So we see, my dear listener, charity never stops functioning. It will be here for eternity. Now, by contrast, prophecy shall fail. Eventually, all prophecy will be fulfilled. You see, there are many unfulfilled prophecies right now, many of which have to do with the second coming of Jesus. Now, when he returns, there will be still some prophecies to fulfill, particularly at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus. Things like casting the devil into the lake of fire, the white throne judgment, and the creation of new heavens and the new earth. Also, tongues shall cease. You see, tongues were necessary for the preaching of the gospel in the beginning of the church because the disciples were all Jews from Galilee. There were Jews from many different regions who heard the gospel in their own language. The scriptures remind us the Jews require a sign. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, the Word of God says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Amen. And then we read in Exodus chapter 4, in verses 1 through 9, the Word of God says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, amen, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So we see that the nation of Israel started out with signs. Amen. And tongues were for a sign. Amen. Tongues were for a sign. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, the Word of God clearly says, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, tongues temporarily ceased after the Lord quit dealing with Israel, and the gospel turned to the Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 28, verse 28, the words of God say, be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. Amen. Now, however, tongues will return in the tribulation as the gospel goes into the regions where those preaching the gospel don't know the language of those to whom they will preaching, and they won't have the time to learn the languages. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 14, the words of God say, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we see then the tongues will return so the preaching can be reached to those of different languages and those that will. Again, tongues are always known languages, amen. It's not some gibberish. So there'll be those that will be given the sign of tongues so they can preach the gospel to all those of different languages. Now, the signs in Mark 16, verses 16 to 18, are doctrinally for the tribulation. Notice Mark 16, verses 16 to 18. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Not only that, but knowledge shall vanish away. Knowledge shall vanish away. The reason is that when Israel is saved, the Lord said, they shall not teach every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least, amen, to the greatest. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 11. Isn't it interesting that Eve was tempted to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so that she could be as gods, knowing? You see, the devil tempted her to have something that was already coming to her just a little ahead of time. Now, if you think about it, that's what temptation is. A temptation to have something now rather than in its due time. You see, the devil tempted Jesus with the power and glory of the kingdoms. He's going to get them anyway. Young people are tempted with premarital sex. That's available to them for the rest of their lives after they're married. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, we read, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Today, we know those things that have been recorded for us in Scripture, and which have been given to us by inspiration. But we don't know it all. We only know in part. We prophesy only that which has been recorded for us to prophesy. But there is much that will take place, and there are specifics of that which will be fulfilled that we don't prophesy, because we can only prophesy the part that God has revealed to us. Now we read in verse 10 of John chapter 13, of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When that which is perfect shall come, refers to he who is perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, we read, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. When he comes, at the second advent, there will be no more in part. We shall see him, and we shall know him, and all prophecy concerning us will be fulfilled. So knowledge, prophecy, and tongues will all be done away. Now let's look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul uses the illustration of growing up as a child into adulthood. As a child, we speak, understand, and think as a child. We can't speak, understand, and think as adults because we aren't adults. But when we become adults, our speech, understanding, and knowledge are that of an adult because we are no longer children. Likewise, when Jesus returns and we meet him in glorified bodies, we will be like him. Notice what it says with me in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, the Word of God says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You see, we will no longer be limited by these earthly bodies. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Then in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13, the Word of God says this: "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and now I know in part. But then I shall know even also as I am known." You see, my dear listeners, right now we are limited in that what we know, because we can't see Jesus and God face to face. We see through a glass darkly. But when Jesus comes, we see him and we will know him even as we are known. And then we read in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Therefore, right now, we must have faith because we can't see him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Word of God says this: "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Right now we must have hope because he hasn't returned yet. In Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 verses 24 and 25, the Word of Almighty God has this to say: "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Amen. But when he returns, we won't need faith, because we will know him by sight. And we won't need hope, because our blessed hope will have appeared. We will be glorified. So of these great things, faith, hope, and charity, charity is the greatest, because it will still be here when the other two are no longer necessary. Amen. Now let's get right into chapter 14, if you would, of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Now as we begin 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I just want to say, as we look at this chapter is all about understanding tongues. Amen. And in this lesson, we will go through 1 Corinthians chapter 14, subdividing the chapters into sections and dealing with each verse in each section so that you can get an understanding of this often misunderstood doctrine. Amen. First, let's begin in verses 1 through 5 of 1 Corinthians 14. The Word of God says this: follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would have that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So, we see right off the bat here, our point number one is prophecy is preferred to tongues. We see there in verse 1 that prophecy is to be desired more than all spiritual gifts. Amen. And then in verse 2, it talks about an unknown tongue. Amen. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. An unknown tongue is a language unknown to the hearer, where it says in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 14, no man understandeth him, whether it is the native tongue of the speaker or a gift. We see a great example, the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, we have all different folks from different areas that come to Jerusalem that speak different languages. But in Acts chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, the Word of God says this: now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own tongue. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man our own tongue wherein we were born? So here we have the apostles speaking in unknown languages to them. Amen. They didn't go to language school to know them. They're given the gift of tongues so that the audience, Jews from all over who speak different languages, could hear the message. And the hearers of the word were amazed because, you know, they were all Galileans, the ones that were speaking. How can they speak in our languages? Amen. Now, since it is unknown to the hearer, according to verse 2, the speaker speaketh not unto men, but unto God. In the Spirit, the man's spirit, not the Holy Spirit, He speaketh mysteries, not because his speech is mysterious, but because no one understands him. See? Then in verse 3, we read, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So someone speaks in an unknown tongue and the hearer doesn't understand it, and there's no one there to interpret it, what good is it? Amen? They don't understand it. God does, but no one there in the congregation does. But as we read here, a man, in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14, a man that prophesies edifies. He instructs, he enlightens, he exhorts, which is strongly urges, and comforts his hearers. Amen? Look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Speaking in an unknown tongue only edifies the speaker, whereby prophecy edifies the church. It's very important to notice that the speaker understands what he is saying. In the modern tongue movement, the speaker doesn't understand his tongues and thus cannot edify himself. They don't have a spiritual gift. Then in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Paul wasn't against speaking in tongues, but he preferred prophecy. It's greater to prophesy than to speak with tongues, unless the speaker can interpret what he says for the congregation to understand and be edified. A Spanish-speaking Mexican, for instance, can interpret what he says if he is bilingual. Amen? Now we continue on in verses 6 to 11 of 1 Corinthians 14. We have problems with speaking with tongues. Amen? Before I go on and continue on, I want to clear up this prophecy. Prophecy is forthtelling. When your pastor preaches the Word of God or the Word of God is taught, that's forthtelling what is in the Scriptures. Amen. In this tongue business that people confuse today, for most it's just, it's not here, and it's gibberish. It's a gibberish language that the one that's speaking it doesn't even understand it themselves. Nevertheless, someone in the congregation would understand it. Amen. Again, it was used to establish the New Testament church that was mostly Jews, and Jews require a sign. We're going to stop there for today, and I pray you join me. Amen. Next time. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.